You're listening to the Action Figure Blues podcast, episode number 384, brought to you by Pedantic Panda and actionfigureblues.com. I'm Scotty, and with me tonight are...
Adam.
Ben.
Joel.
And Eddie.
Tonight, our toys of the week are the McFarlane Toys My Hero Academia All Might action figure, McFarlane Toys Spawn's Universe Wave 1, and the Good Smile Company Disney Stitch Nendoroid action figure. Gentlemen, how are we?
Hello.
Well.
Going well, my friend.
Good.
So, you might have heard a new name in the intro tonight, and we have a special guest here with us this evening, and this is Joel. So, Joel, why don't you say hello, introduce yourself briefly, tell people what you collect and where they might find you on the web, but not your OnlyFans.
Well, I just have got a hot tub installed out the back for the wife, so OnlyFans may be coming very soon. But I mainly collect Marvel Legends. That's where I got into collecting 8 years ago. And my main focus, huge Iron Man fan. So I've got one whole pillar of my cabinet dedicated to the hero that I enjoy the most. As far as other things that I've been getting into, a little bit of Mezco lately, a little bit of Amazing Yamaguchi. I always get that one, how you meant to say it.
Reflexive.
And where you can find me. So I've been for quite a few years the person behind Slight Effects, obviously based in Australia, but also look after the US and Hong Kong, but just really been wanting to share the full experience of collecting recently. So now started the new YouTube channel, which is The Articulated Aussie.
Yay. Excellent. And we're going to be doing some...
One of the best openings, so you've got a retro...
And we're going to be doing some collaboration on getting that together and out there with some... more pretty pictures, etc., for under our Pedantic Panda banner. Joel's been waiting very patiently for us to get that together. we are doing it, I promise.
Someone had to wait for something at Action Figure Blues? Say it.
I know.
Have we alerted Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum?
No. I'm more than happy to offer you all a 100% refund on everything that you have paid to...
Yeah, looking forward to 100%
pain. Yeah, that's right. That's true. Yeah. Zero times zero is still zero, right? Is that correct? Yes.
So I can get a refund and get my dignity back?
That's long gone, pal.
Listen, that was a pre-existing condition. Don't try and pretend that you came here with dignity. Come on. That's just ridiculous. Sorry, I think I cut
Joel. Normal before I joined?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
No, I was actually saying just before, Joel's been a friend of the show, been listening, got slide different sets of his fan effects, his last and the Spidey effects. So,
I must say my wife must really love me because we've done a couple of trips to Sydney where I've downloaded the podcast and put it through our stereo on the way there.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. She suffered for a little bit and then put her headphones in and listened to something else.
Yeah.
Bless her for trying.
Yeah. When I tell people like that I do a toy podcast, oh, that sounds really interesting. I must listen to it. And I'm like, oh, like unless you really are into the stuff that we enjoy, you probably would enjoy the first few minutes and then just be like super bored. Yeah. But no, look, we're really delighted to have you with us tonight. And we will put the links for Slight Effects and your YouTube channel in the show notes as well. And then we'll be promoting them on our socials as we go. But of course, what we normally do at this time is, first of all, just commiserate on how awful the world is right now and blah, blah, insert your local and national or international disaster of choice. And then we talk about happy things like new toys and things that we have either purchased or pre-ordered since last we spoke. Ben, why don't you kick us off in that department?
Thank you, sir. It's been outside. Although for some it's just camp they see. So now in addition to that, they see someone selling the Facebook. And so I'm constantly being tagged into these sales. So most of my acquisition, I've now picked up about 8 guardsmen. So,
wow.
Yeah, all individually. Just as single.
How many guardsmen does one need? What is the ideal number of guardsmen?
Number is the sale. A squat 8. If I ever get my actual certain moving house and really try. people. that
Isn't yeah, that so what storage units are for? You just kind of keep them there.
Until, okay, yeah. like you, Scotty, it's full of empty boxes. Yes, mm-hmm. I rent a storage unit. And so, although, go through some of them.
Yes. Like that, Eddie, what about you? What's new on the buying or pre-ordering front?
So I've been on a massive, well, pretty much everything Hasbro, but I've been on a massive Hasbro Kim Good score. So I actually got in the new Ghostbusters Afterlife wave that features characters from the new films and some characters that I won't mention because of potential spoiler. But yeah, that was exciting. And I anyone else get them in hand at the time they arrived? So it was like this nice, oh, this is cool. I haven't seen any toy reviews or cross things, anything like that. So it's that rare feeling of, oh, I get to check these out. I haven't had anything spoilt for me or know every accessory or thing that's going to be here in the box. Kind of unique. And then the Marvel Legends stuff. So a couple more of the new Infinity Saga, like Quicksilver, Odin. And then I had a great moment where I'm not one of those type of people that's like, I believe in karma, but I was having a really bad week because insert world disaster that Scotty mentioned at the beginning there, and just I was feeling a bit down. And my local Toy World just like randomly posted on Facebook, hey, we've got new Marvel toys in, and they're the Age of Apocalypse Marvel Legends, the new wave of those. So I was like, beautiful, get to support a local business, can just walk down the street, grab them, bring them home and bump through. So that was really cool to get them in hand. And then when I got home, Suicide Squad had dropped on early access, which I haven't been able to see for the month. So I've been dodging spoilers like crazy. And I was like, oh, that's great. Now I can finally watch this film and then get back on a whole bunch of podcasts where they would have spoiled everything. Check out everything for 2 or 3 days before Shang-Chi opens and then have to turn them all off again and hide all the new sites that I normally follow again.
Got your, to avoid. Got your age. I think about which E's I guarantee that they're stocked. It's a gift, though.
I must say, I'm still waiting for that wave too. So, and it's from a different e-tailer to yourself.
Probably the same one, yes.
No, it is a different one, but yeah.
Oh, is it?
A different one, yeah. I just have mint issues like with pre-ordering for that reason, that I don't want to end up being the waiting 3 months. I don't think particularly because we have choice now, usually when they come in, can kind of swoop in. Having said that, like I have got that wave pre-ordered somewhere different. So, but hopefully in the next week or so. Of course, then we have the added problem referring back to insert your own world disaster that Australia Post is now so overloaded that they're pausing deliveries and everything's taking longer. And I got this thing because I have a merchant account with Australia Post. I got this thing saying that we have 500 people at any one time out for, for quarantine pre, testing or whatever. It slowed things down. And I was, if only there was a giant percentage of population out of work at the moment that you could pull in to fill in and maybe even employ more people. If only, if you're listening, because I'm sure you're listening, Australia Post. That's just my little idea. You don't even have to give me a cut of all the money that you would save from do it.
I did their hiatus of arseholes until we. I just love the idea of a where I'm just sitting there and someone could do this. And I go, I'm just, no, don't give me anything for the next 4 days until I.
I'm on hiatus. Yes.
I'm on hiatus.
Can't you see my desk is overloaded?
Awesome.
Yes, I'm sure every employer would respond really well to that, wouldn't they? Oh, sorry, if I've given you too much to do. More than is humanly possible. Adam, now I believe that while you haven't been in the acquiring mode lately, that you are considering acquiring something. You're like collecting curious.
Yeah, I am. It's the first time in a while. It started off, look, with one of the various Dragon Ball Z, I can't even keep track of which ones are produced by who anymore. It's a Bandai Spirits, there you go. Statue kind of lines producing Cell Jr. figurines. For those kind of Dragon Ball Z literate, we all know Cell is the big bad from kind of that whole androids period, and he's tall and green and white. And then at one point he spits out 7 little miniature versions of himself that are blue coloured, and it's that. Ooh, that's kind of cool. I was going, I don't know that I'm going to want 7 of them. I do want 7, but I don't know that I'm going to buy 7 of them. And I'm like, so maybe I could find a decent Cell statue that's about the right scale. So I found one of those. And like, and then I need someone else in the kind of display. I'm like, well, I don't have a decent Vegeta from that era. It'll be the same scale. So how about I get one of them? And so that's what I'm looking at now. 2 of those. The Cell Juniors are not available yet at Zing. Hopefully they will become available at some point. And at that point I will. But otherwise the other 2 are sitting there waiting for the purchase.
Hearing about those when you get them.
Hmm.
Now, Joel, you do not have to give an accounting for everything that you've collected since you were last on the show, because you've never been here before. But any recent acquisitions or pre-orders to share with us?
Probably the thing that I've got actually in hand, which isn't a lot at the moment, it's the Villains Wave from Marvel Legend. That was just fantastic. Some great solid figures in, obviously, yep. Zenmu, the Builder figure, but Lady Deathstrike. I never got the old one. I just didn't like it enough, so I wasn't around in the Toy Biz days, so I skipped it. Just been holding out for Hasbro to redo it, so really happy to add her and a few others to the shelf. But yeah, a few Infinity Saga items, obviously Happy Hogan and the new Iron Man. It's some that are on pre-order but keep getting delayed by Amazon trying to find or source stock is the email that comes through at the moment. Obviously, everyone's struggling a bit.
Yeah, I had my Red Patriot and Rachel Wise, I'm blanking on. But yeah, my one of those, they were the other week, got a, sorry, we can't source the stock anywhere. So we're going to have to cancel this order. And then 2 minutes later, I went and just ordered it from their US and that got shipped and cancelled. Yeah, it really looked hard to find that stock there, Amazon. I had to go all the way to Amazon to buy it.
Yeah. Look, I think the global supply chain is just in a world of pain at the moment. I was having this conversation with my sister the other day, who also lives in Melbourne, about like this pet store stuff that she ordered ages ago. And they're like, yep, it's in stock, no worries, we'll let you know when it's time to collect. And then 7 days later, she got an email saying, sorry, we don't have this, we'll have to refund you. Wait, you said it was in stock, but... Everything seems...
You should try your list of showerheads and things. And we've changed twice now. We're on our
oh, boy. Oh, boy.
At this stage, I'm just going to go for
it. And Joel, just before we... Anything kind of... What's the next thing coming, the next acquisition that you're expecting? Is that the Age of Apocalypse guys or what's next?
No, I skipped that one. But I was actually going for the same one that Ben's going, that we're all waiting for the Australian retailers to get. So...
I got mine like two lockdowns ago.
Yeah, me too. Oh, yeah.
I love how we do eight or eras in lockdowns now. We don't actually go by months.
Yeah.
But honestly, Obadiah Stane, the Ironmonger 2-pack, I am drooling over that every time I see a review, every time I see someone doing a paint mod or something on it, I'm like, oh, I want this one in my head.
That portrait's great.
Yeah, well, I've got a couple of different that I'll mention. One is I'm a big Edna Mode fan from The Incredibles. I don't know why, she just cracks me up, and so
of course you.
Yeah, and so I have to. What do you mean?
I don't know why, but for some reason that is the least surprising thing that you've ever had to justify. Like, of course, I know, that would be.
And I've talked about her before, so yeah, there's not a lot of collectibles. I've got the Cos Baby. She came in a 2-pack with Jack, and it's like brilliant. And a couple other things. And they did a Funko Soda thing of her. And so I was like, oh, well, I have to have that. I don't, the kind of concept doesn't appeal to me overall because it's just a different thing to collect. But then there was a little snag that I was worried about because the Funko Sodas come with a chase. Like, you might find the chase. And invariably, the chase is a thing I really don't want. It's either like a translucent version or whatever. And in this instance, the normal one is just Edna looking Edna-ish. And then the chase is this goofy, grin, smiley version that, like, that's not her at all. Mm. So I ordered one in with other stuff from pop culture and got it. And of course, I got the goofy chase that is like the thing that like nobody wants. Blah. So, and then of course, I did the completely logical thing and ordered another one. But I did this time, I got the nice one, the one that actually looks like Edna. There's an Aquaman one coming, which I'll get as well, obviously, because Aquaman. And these, they're actually fun. Like the little can lid comes off and only moderately childproof. Anyway, here's one I prepared earlier, no lid. And yeah, they're cute, they're substantial, but not the sort of thing that I would want to collect for a favorite character. But I don't know what the find the chase of Aquaman is. It's really dumb, and I'll probably get that as well. I know I saw somebody posting a while ago when they did Superman, the chase was Bizarro, which is actually a little bit more interesting. But someone was like, so I bought three of these and I got three Bizarros. And I just want Superman. So there you go. That's the chase. I don't know how chasey that really is. And then I also got in that same box the latest Bishojo from the distance, which is Stargirl. I have Mira as well, which talked about on the show, I don't think, but I've got Mira and then Stargirl. And then, as we'll hear later, I have developed a bit of a Nendoroid problem.
I think they got cream for that now.
But I don't know. I'm not ready to see a doctor yet. I'm going to roll with it a little bit longer. So talk a bit more about that later. And unless anyone has any other acquisitions to report or things to confess in the toy realm, we're going to stop there and we will come back with our first toy of the week. Ben has our first toy of the week review for this episode. So, Ben, what new plastic goodness have you got to share with us?
Thank you, Mr. Scotty. And for this episode, I'm going to be talking about something a little out of my usual wheelhouse. Still in the superhero genre, but certainly not the usual kind of Marvel and DC sort of stuff. My tadpoles. My daughters are all getting right into anime and manga. So both reading and viewing. And one of the ones I thought they might actually enjoy is My Hero Academia. And boy, did I hit it out of the park on that one. They absolutely love it. Like the oldest ones, got all the graphic novels. We've got the Blu-rays. Their birthdays were recent in the last sort of month or so, all three of them. And so they each got a My Hero Academia hoodie, which they absolutely love and adore. They're quite sort of loud and flashy. So anyway, it's the flavour of the moment, and for good reason. It's actually a really fun show. It takes place in a world where about 80% of the population has what they call a quirk, which allows them some kind of superpower. Most people sort of get about their day doing stuff. Some become villains. But for those that actually want to become superheroes, they actually go to an academy. They can actually learn to be a superhero and use their powers. And what's really clever about the show is a lot of the power sets you're largely familiar with, but the writers are actually really quite clever in how they actually have these people using their powers. So anyway, this brings me to McFarlane Toys. And if you've been in a barn for the last kind of 10 years, you'll know that McFarlane has acquired the rights to about 7,000 different IPs. And is bringing out oodles of action figures, majority of them in his 7-inch scale, so they don't really fit in with anything else. Well done. I guess they do scale up with NECA, which is pretty good. But anyway, I was quite surprised when I saw that he was doing My Hero Academia figures, and we've had a couple of waves now of those figures. And what's actually pretty good is all the big names have been in those waves. So I actually bought each of my girls their favourite character. And when I was adding them to the cart, I decided to throw in a fourth figure, and that is All Might. And if you've never seen a show at all, I'll tell you that All Might is basically their version of Superman. He is not only probably the most powerful, but he's also the most well-known, the most beloved. Everybody considers him to be the number one hero. And in the show, he's actually very funny. Like, he's got that big booming voice and the power set to go with it, but he's actually a pretty cool guy. So anyway, I picked up All Might for myself, and I deliberately set it aside so that the girls could give it to me for Father's Day. So this, I'm pretty sure this is a 2021 release, but I actually haven't had it that long. So only sort of in, you know, the last few weeks, he's been sort of sitting there. So he is a 7-inch scale action figure, and in terms of height, this is quite an interesting one. He's actually about 7.2 inches tall. So according to my trusty tape measure, that makes him give or take around 19 centimeters tall. So he's quite big, but I'll get to that later. All right, now in terms of the price, about 23 US, so that's anywhere in the vicinity of 35, 40 Australian, which is kind of pretty standard. Now, in terms of the packaging, McFarlane has a pretty good kind of generic window box now that he uses for most of his stuff. And so basically all they do is update the styling of the box depending on the actual property. And the good thing about this is it's really obvious straight away. They actually use the My Hero Academia logo, which runs across the top of the box, so it stands out and it's really obvious. You get a couple of shots of the actual character on the front of the box to go with it as well. So if you are familiar with the character from the anime, you'll sort of see his face looking out at you. The window box extends around both sides, so there's plenty of clear plastic so you can actually see the figure inside. A bit unusual for McFarlane. I actually think he was one of the first to start crediting sculptors, but I've had a look on this box and I can't find who actually sculpted this figure, so there's no credits at all. On the back, you'll see the other characters in the wave. All right, so he's reasonably friendly. Like, I've had him out of the box and back in again, so he does go back in storage-wise, although this was actually a first for me. When I actually took him out of the box, he's got one of those kind of clear plastic ties around his waist that actually stop him falling out of the tray, which he's pretty tight in the tray, so I don't know how he'd possibly fall out. But it wasn't actually one of those little elastic ones. It was actually, trying to describe this for the people at home, when you buy a pair of socks, there's that little plastic thing that holds the two socks together. And it's basically a piece of long plastic with a little T on the end, and you can't pull the T through the thread. So it has to be cut. Like, you can't untwist it or anything like that. This is a done, you know, deal once you actually cut that. So I've never actually seen one of those holding an action figure in a tray before. It's always been a wire twisty or one of those little elasty thingies. So that was actually pretty new for me. So he does go back into the box pretty well. My box has had a bit of a beating, and so it's a bit, you know, deformed. So be careful with that if you are actually a mint in box collector. So anyway, yep, all good. I really like the packaging. Looks great. All Might's really obvious. It's good stuff. Now, in terms of the sculpt, he's a big guy. We're talking like really massive over muscles here. Like, he really is beyond what, you know, we could achieve in reality in terms of musculature. Like, he's gigantic. But his costume is largely a bodysuit, so there's not a lot of detail going on. But what I actually really like is the stripes or lines on his boots and his kind of gauntlets on his forearms. He's got Vambrace, if you want to get technical. They're actually sculpted pieces, which was kind of nice. I thought they'd just paint them on or use some sort of tempo or something, but they're actually sculpted on, which is kind of cool. So the parts of his belt are all sculpted. The face, he only comes with a single portrait. We're not getting this price point. We're not going crazy with swap outs. So he's got that kind of big grin on his face, which is pretty standard for All Might. So everything is pretty kind of cool. This is a new buck. I don't think I've actually seen this used on anyone else, which is actually kind of nice that McFarlane's doing that. But for my money, he actually looks a little undersized. His head is unusually small. I've compared it to pictures online, and I still think the head is a bit small. And I also think he's probably just under-muscled for what he should be. Like, this guy is really massive. And so I keep looking at him and looking at him, and I just think, he's certainly big, but he's just probably not as big as he could be. In terms of the paint, there's actually a lot going on with this costume, a lot more than I actually realised once I started to sort of, you know, look into the detail. He's got a lot of stripes and colour changes going on here. I think it actually would have been a pain to paint. I'm really sorry, feel sorry for the people in the factory trying to do this work. But here's where I think the figure suffers the most, and that is the classic, I've got to paint one colour over another. So we sculpt the figure in one colour and then we paint. So those yellow Vambrace parts that I mentioned before on his arm, he sculpted in blue plastic. And what do? They paint the yellow over the top. All things considered, they've done a pretty decent job, but there's probably a little bit too much slop for my liking. Where it's really let down, there's two parts that are pretty average. One is the white across his chest. They've obviously painted it white and then painted the red around the edges. And somehow, I'm not sure what's going on, but they've managed to get, it's almost as if someone's managed to get red paint on their fingers and then ever so gently brushed against the white paint. So there's little red marks everywhere all over the white. It's not just his chest, it's down the side of his thighs as well. But then the really obvious parts for me are his boots. He's got those sculpted lines. It should be fairly easy to run the paint across the sculpted parts. And what they've done is they've painted over the top of the yellow with the red, but they've missed part of it and gone too high onto the boots. So you've now got red on his blue pants, but then where the red should have been is still showing through as yellow. So they've just shifted it ever so slightly up. They've gone too high on one and not high enough on another. So this is where probably the figure's been let down the most, and that is just in that paint department. I mean, it's a busy figure with a lot going on, but gosh, I would have just preferred just that little bit more accuracy in this department. In terms of articulation, Look, McFarlane's not known for his articulation, so you're kind of like happy to get anything you can. Some of the usual suspects are there. He's got double jointed knees, which is really nice. He's got the butterfly shoulders in the shoulders, which actually allow that greater range of movement, which is actually pretty cool. But I guess it's just a few of those subtle things that are missing. There's no thigh cuts. There's no cut across where his boots are that you'd normally get with the Marvel Legends. There's a few missing. So it says 22 points of articulation. And yeah, it just looks like some of those usual suspects are missing. So he's just got sort of the ball jointed head, for example. So you just got the basic twist movement. There's not a lot going on there. The ball jointed wrists and ankles are actually pretty cool. You can get some nice range of movement there. What is actually unusual compared to things like Marvel Legends is he's got articulated toes. So he's just got that pin that runs through the toes that just allow you to sort of bend the ball of the foot, which is kind of cool. So yeah, like he could have a few other, I actually had a lot of trouble moving his waist joint. Because it's not actually a cut, it's kind of a ball joint as well. So, look, it's not too bad, all things considered. Moving on to the accessories, at this price point, you don't tend to get a lot, but I think we are being spoiled by Marvel Legends at the moment, because I got to admit, I was a bit let down to find that all he comes with was a pair of swap-out hands, and I guess you'd call those relaxed hands. They're not fists, they're just open, and they're not karate chop or anything like that. They're just kind of relaxed hands, which are a bit odd for him, given that he's always getting into big punch-ups with everybody. So I probably would have preferred to have just a single set of fists and a swap-out head, a more relaxed head. Would have been nice. The biggest thing I have with this figure, the one that's really going to sort of impact on my rating, is that he's woefully under scale. I tried to kind of ignore it, but it's really started to get to me. So 7 inch, for those people that don't know, is 1/10 scale. Marvel Legends are 6 inch figures, so they're 1/12 scale. Now All Might is actually meant to be 7'2". So 7'2", doing some basic maths here, 7/12 are 84, add 2, 86. So in real life, he'd be 86 inches tall. Okay, for those people that can't do basic math in 1/10 scale, you just move the decimal point. So he really should be about 8.5 inches tall.
How did you math it? On the weekend, on our podcast.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'll move that bit along. So
I work for the ABS.
I know. Sorry about that. But he really should be a lot bigger. And I was actually comparing him to my daughter's figures. And Deku, who is pretty much the main character of My Hero Academia, he's a little fella. He's kind of about 15 in the show. I mean, he looks like he's maybe about 5'6". He's very tall compared to All Might. So I'm really disappointed that McFarlane didn't think this one through a bit more and maybe release this guy as a deluxe figure, separate to the basic waves. This is an academy, a superhero academy, so there's dozens of figures that they can do in this line. They should have taken him out and made him a deluxe figure, made him the right scale, and had him right over 8 inches tall. So he really does, and that small head on this large body does look really woefully out of place when you stand him next to some of the other figures. So on its own, if this is the only character that you want, you're just going to stick him on the shelf, he looks pretty cool. It's not too bad. But when you're actually standing next to the others, it's really not good at all. And I don't know whether that's a limitation of the packaging, any bigger and they wouldn't be able to fit in the standard packaging. But I don't know. I'm hoping that McFarlane does actually do something like that eventually. Revoltech have actually done an All Might in their Gucci line, and I think he's much more in scale with the rest of the figures. I'm just going to put a link in the script so the guys can actually have a look at that. And when you actually have a look, he's not only is he better in height, the Yamaguchi figure, but he's actually a lot bigger. So they've really bulked up that muscle. And I think the Yamaguchi figure is much more in line with what we probably should have been getting. So, but then again, given how much that figure goes for, you've got to take what you can. So overall, look, fun figure. Nice to see this license getting that kind of Western release through McFarlane, but I'm a bit disappointed by the scale, the sloppy paint, etc. The smaller head's still kind of freaking me out a bit. So look, to be honest, I think the best I can do with this guy is maybe $7 out of $10.
Are you adding points for the crotch area being like almost a cod piece?
Well, it's actually not that bad in looking at it in person. He doesn't have a super cod piece, so he's not too bad at all.
So I'm not really familiar with the source material. Are you saying that his head's not meant to be that small?
When you actually look online at the link that I've included in the script, his head actually looks like it's in scale with his body. But the figure that I'm holding in front of me, the head does look a lot smaller. And the problem is, because this is manga slash anime, a lot of the other characters have those crazy 15-year-old boy hairstyles. So they've got the giant hair sticking up. So when that translates to action figure form, you've got these characters that have these giant heads, and then you've got this guy who's got this tiny little pinhead. And because he's actually much smaller, he just looks woefully undersized compared to them. So...
So is this a one and done for you, or is this yours, or is it one of your kids and you're not collecting this?
Yeah, to be fair, if I could find the Revoltech one, the Yamaguchi one, cheap, and one by cheap I actually mean less than the cost of a small European car, I might actually consider giving this one to my daughter. She loves Deku, who's the boy, and he's, I guess, the apprentice to All Might, and so I'd happily hand that over to her. And I think even if I don't get the Yamaguchi one, I'll just, you know, give this to her anyway. The more I look at the Yamaguchi one, the more I like it, but unfortunately it's going for really big bucks. So I don't know, Adam, do they re-release Yamaguchi figures the same way that Figure Arts do? Am I likely, if this figure stays at redonkulous prices, am I likely to get a redo in a year or two?
I think they have done for some of them, like some of the Marvel characters like Spidey and maybe the Wolvie got a re-release. So I think if it's a popular enough character, they'll do it. But
yeah.
It's one of those, if you're not happy with the eBay prices now or the second market now, then you may as well hang out, because the seconds markets might go up, but it might drop out.
Yeah.
Or you might just get that re-release.
They also did a 2.0 with Deadpool as well.
Oh, so they redo shitty characters. Okay, I'll hang out then. And... What's really bizarre about All Might is he has these two sort of quaffs of hair that stick up, and they almost look like antennas. And so when I was looking at the Revoltech figure, it actually says that he's 8 inches tall. But I'm sitting there going, well, is that 8 inches to the top of his head, or is that 8 inches to the top of his hair coif thing sticking up? Because that's a pretty significant difference. So I think, Scotty, about episode 3 or 4 of the podcast, we were going through the news, and someone had actually released a new version of the battleship Yamato from Star Blazers. And in the copy that they had released in advertising this, it said that it was 1/200 scale. And I remember just going, wow, that's so helpful, because I've seen Battleship Yamato in real life, so I can calculate the scale based on why these companies don't just turn around and go, yeah, sorry, we've gone 1/200 scale of a fictional space battleship. Would it just be easier if we told you that it was 35 centimeters long? Like, would that be so? Yes, I much prefer when these people, you know, give correct scaling. But anyway, my rant.
Hold on. Like in general, or just because you don't have encyclopedic knowledge of the measurements in that particular genre? Because if someone said 1/200 scale for Thor, I reckon you'd go, oh, yes, so that equates to, because in real life, Thor is blah, according to the Marvel Universe Handbook of 1985. And so by
ABS standards, it's blah.
Sorry, okay. Just let me check my spreadsheet, and it is... Yes, 1 inch.
Well, I'm sure if I went and Googled length of space battleship Yamato, it would actually tell me how long it is, and then I could calculate what it is at 200 scale. But to be honest, I don't feel like I should have to do the work. It's like you're soliciting these goods. Like, just try a bit harder. Just take ownership and do this thing. So anyway, that's my rant.
No, fair enough. Fair enough. I think that you've given that a red hot go, and it's always interesting to hear a review of a different property. And, of course, your mileage at home may vary, and if it does, please let us know. And in the meantime, we will take a short break, and we will come back with our next Toy of the Week.
Anyone for turtle soup?
Oh no! Raphael's in the clutches of the evil foot fleshomatic torture machine! Will the turtle cycle make it in time? Will Raphael be destroyed by the retro mutagen ooze?
I don't know.
What a shot! The double-barreled plunger gun saves the day again! And with their retro catapult, the turtles are giving the foot some of their own medicine!
Anyone remember where we parked?
From Playmate!
And now it's over to Eddie to share some more new plastic, or I think it's new, with us. And Eddie, what have you got for us?
Yeah, so I thought I would keep the McFarlane trainer rolling following Ben's review and come back around to one of my, like, it's a weird toy line. It's definitely up there as one of my favorites, but there's a big asterisk next to it. And long-time listeners will know during the dark times where my fellow co-host decided to take a break and I was dropping completely random out there solo shows. Probably the most successful of those that I did was a complete history of Spawn action figures, which at the time was a deadline. And now they've come back in force. Spawn is once again a weird major player, and I don't know if it actually is or Todd McFarlane's just out there spruiking it like it is, so it's just become one. But yeah, he's pushing the comic book again. He's getting figures on the shelves. That Spawn movie that he's been promising for the last 20 years, he's still promising, so it's all out there. And we finally got this year a new line of Spawn figures for retail shelves, which is kind of cool that there's not too many brands you can think of that don't have media support that are getting toys on regular retail shelves for such a niche brand and property. But as we've sort of talked in recent years, just the amazing work that McFarlane Toys have actually done in terms of stepping up and getting figures and weird brands and getting into stores like Big W's and that. I'm not sort of surprised that Walmart might take the gamble on this sort of stuff. But yeah, of course, I'm talking about Spawn Universe Wave 1. So there was a little bit of a kickoff of this last year when they announced the Kickstarter they were doing, which was the classic Spawn figure itself, which is a cool figure, but weirdly, with this line is kind of a continuation of it. There's no main Spawn figure that's been released for this retail line. So if you want the main character from this series, you kind of have to have backed a Kickstarter from last year. But the main line itself, we have Raven Spawn. We've got the Clown. We have Redeemer. And the big mamma jamma is the Violator. So
bloody hell. It's a hunk of plastic.
Yeah, so these figures run the complete gambit. One of the things that I do sort of like that McFarlane is doing with their toys is, and it seems with this line in particular, that there's no real scale. It's just whatever size suits the figure. That's the size that the toy is getting released in. So there's two, what you would call kind of the basic figures, which would be similar figures similar to DC Multiverse, which is Redeemer and Raven Spawn. So they're going to set you back about $35 each. And then the other two, which is Clown and Violator, they've got different pricing. So Clown's going to set you back about $60 Australian, and Violator's going to set you back at $80 Australian because they're just bigger hunks of plastic that you get. And also being McFarlane, they come in a much bigger box. So they are really cool figures. So to start off with, I'll do Raven Spawn. So Raven Spawn, if you don't know the character, that's completely fine. Really, I've been reading Spawn comics for years, and the trick with them is you don't read them. You just look at the pretty artwork. The stories are very nonsensical. Most of the toys that come out of that comic are barely in a couple of pages, if they're actually in the comics at all. A lot of them are just toy designs. Ravenspawn was in a weird spin-off book called Hellspawn. He's basically just another type of spawn that's like an evil spawn that Malbolger sends after the main one, but it's not even the main continuity one. But he's had quite a few figures, and I'd assume it's because he is a really cool design. He's sort of got a great Grim Reaper look to him, and they've done a wonderful job updating that original McFarlane Ravenspawn figure into this version, which really is what it is. It's kind of like a He-Man Classics remake of that original Ravenspawn figure, down to his weird spiky gauntlets are really reminiscent of that original early 2000s figure. Comes with a beautiful scythe. Probably the main thing about him is the beautiful green paint for his eyes that really shine out of all the dark colors over the rest of him. You get these really prominent eyes that almost, there's no glowing paints or anything like that in there, but they give off that beautiful glow. There's sort of like a mix wash of yellow and green in there to really help make them pop. Articulation wise, he's very similar to what you'd expect with a DC multiverse. So it's things like the ball socket ankles, which can be a bit annoying. Luckily, he's got some sculpt design that covers over the top of them, so it looks nicer than you get on some of the multiverse figures. But yeah, that's what you'd get with those, you sort of get here. So things like the soft plastic overlay on the upper chest joints, those type of pieces come in. As I mentioned, he comes with a beautifully designed, covered with skulls scythe, as well as a another long sort of sickle piece with chains with another sickle at the end. This one didn't come with the original toy. This is just a really cool design that they chucked in. And what I've been amazed, I've had these guys for probably over a week now, and as I've had them posed, this sort of slinging around chain is hard plastic. It's got a little bit of give to it. You can bend it. But as I've had it on display, it's actually kept its shape. I sort of figured after a couple of days, the scythe might start to sink down as the weight brings in. But it's actually really, I don't know if it would hold forever, but over the course of the week still, it managed to hold its shape while it was in the air. Next figure I have is Redeemer. So once again, if you don't know the character, don't worry. He's been in a couple of Spawn comics, but really nothing much of note. But for the hardcore fans, this is the Eddie Frank version. And for those who don't know, basically think of an anti-Spawn, which was literally his name at one point before they came up with the name of Redeemer. He's basically Heaven's version of a Spawn, which is why he has these beautiful Hawkman wings coming off the back of him. They're just ball socket in articulation, so you can get some limited posing out of those. Very similar to like the Hawkman from the DC universe.
Great, got wings,
beautiful wing designs with all the feathering and a lovely sort of gray overwash onto those, so they kind of give you know that dusty feel when you give a bird a pat. It's sort of got that design going through and on.
Realistic feathers.
Yeah.
Are we meant to pat birds? Is that a thing now?
Yeah. You can give. They love a little bit of a scratch on the back of the neck. Okay. And once again, his sculpt is fantastic. He's got this beautiful gold ornate design. One thing that's really hard to tell from images or pictures of that is he's got this beautiful texturing to his blue bodysuit. It's sort of that like microfiber texturing that you get in modern superhero films. It's that sort of cool texture. It gives you the idea that this might be what the suit would look like if they gave him a very comic book accurate suit in a live action movie. And what I think's kind of cool is he's got these big pauldrons on his shoulders, and they're done in that sort of soft plastic, cleverly stuck down in a certain point way that you can still move the shoulders right up there and still get the articulation. They don't get in the way too much. And even on the inside of them, they've got some beautiful ornate designs too. So he is really cool. The only fault with him though is he does have these ball joint ankle articulations that's quite common on McFarlane figures. And because he's got the heavy wings on the top, You can find him starting to slump backwards a bit. So you might want to, when you're posing him, he's going to be one of those guys on the shelves that you want to sort of lean back against another figure. And I don't know about you guys, but when I have to do that on a shelf, I usually need to pick a larger, heavier figure to put him up against, which is lucky with this line because we've got two of them as the follow-ups. So the next level big guy is the clown, and he, despite being a shorter character, still comes with a shit ton of plastic to make up that room, and hence the extra price. And I absolutely love this guy. There's something about the clown from Spawn that just weirdly makes for almost one of the most perfect iconic action figures for me. There was a release of clown around wave 20 of the original Spawn line that I picked up when I would have been about 14, 15 years old. And it was just one of the first figures I remember just poring over the sculpt and the way it was designed. And this figure takes a bit of the design element off that figure, as well as the second clown figure that they ever did, which is where the backpack comes from. He has these huge hunking guns that pop through and come off the back, which is also a bit of a downside for this figure, because mine, unfortunately, has very loose ball joints. It once again uses ball joints for the articulation. So it is kind of meant to be above his head and set up here. And I have seen people being able to get it in these poses and hold it. But for mine, it just won't hold the weight at all to have him up on display. So I sort of have to have him down here under his shoulder, slung through and out. But to be honest, as much as you pay extra for the huge chunk of plastic that comes with his backpack, I do like that it is removable. And probably how I'm most likely going to have him displayed on my shelf is just backpackless and having the clown just out there as normal. And what I actually think is a much cooler accessory is he does come with knives. And I sort of love the old barber's razor one, because there's just something weird horror elements about it that works well with Spawn and the disgusting nature of the clown that I sort of like him holding that one. But he also comes with a more regular sort of Rambo knife, pointy version as well. His articulation, once again, similar to DC Universe's, but because of his squat body nature, it's sort of hidden in different elements. So he does actually have articulated knee hinges, but it's beautifully hidden in his jean sculpting, same as how the jeans sort of group around his boots here. He does still have ball articulated ankles in there. He's got a big ball up in his body section here, so you get a lot of rotation around the waist movement. He's got a ball jointed head, which they've done a wonderful job kind of hiding the seams in the rolls of fat around his neck, so you can get that in. Give that nice swivel move around. Beautiful, disgusting blue, almost gacy face paint that is kind of based off that runs on the neck. One thing that I find weirdly disturbing about him is they've kind of given him red body hair on his arms that just kind of makes it seem even more sickly. I don't know why, but some reason red body hair just adds an extra element of disgusting in there. And some absolutely
gingers, you know,
incredible sculpt and paint washes on the jeans. And actually, it's really hard to tell in pictures that, but if you get a chance to look at it in person, it's a really beautiful denim sculpting on a figure, which a lot of companies have done well recently. But I think this might be the best version of a denim sculpt that I've seen up to date. So yeah, he's a fantastic one. But for those of you who know Spawn, you know he's got another side to his character. And that's when he turns into the Violator. And this is the big guy of the wave, and easily being the most popular one. So the Violator is just literally a beast of a figure. He is massive. So to give you a little bit of size reference, if you imagine that's your basic DC multiverse figure, This is him coming up. And this isn't even him kind of at max. This is still with him having his legs a little bit bent. Apologies. I know this is an audio podcast, but I'm showing the guys on the one when I say this here. But, yeah, he's standing another half of a figure taller than your basic McFarlane modern figure.
Do they have different price points, Eddie?
Yeah, they do. So the main guys are around 35. The clown was 60 and this guy was 80. Really for 80, like when you compare, like this is kind of now the pricing that you're paying for, like the Hulk Marvel Legends figures, the deluxe Star Wars Black, you know, Boba Fett with the extra pieces and that. Or you'd picking up this guy here who is still fully articulated. So he's got things like wrist swivels and cuts. It's not double jointed, but you can still get a fair bit of movement range. The wear area he does sort of suffer in is his head joint. There is one in there, but you don't really get any movement or cross through at all. I don't know if maybe it's potentially something with mine might be stuck on the inside or cross through. But you only get a couple of degrees of movement, really not much at all. He does have a beautifully articulated jaw, so you can have it with the fully drop-down piece here, which is very iconic to the McFarlane artwork, or you can close it up for the cross-through jaw. It's really hard to see, but he has this beautiful sculpt underneath his jaw just to sort of give it that it looks still connected on the inside underneath when you do push the sculpt forward there, but it also has a little hole that when you bring it back, it will go into his neck and further in, so you can get the drop neck nice and flush, which is great to get that iconic look. Weirdly, his horns seem to be a little bit articulated. You can get a little bit of movement there. I don't know if that's just a weaker plug in the one, but you can get a little bit up and down motion on them. And his big kind of scorpion spike on the top is a very soft rubber too, but that's locked in and sealed through. He's got beautiful rockers in the body, so you can get a fair bit of movement out of him there.
For people listening to the audio version, Eddie is demonstrating this now.
Yeah, that's what he's not wearing a latex suit.
Socket ones in.
No, and if I can also use my interjection to say that this, to me, looks like an action figure version of what I feel that I look like when I am woken up before I am ready.
Yeah.
Looks very angry. Very angry.
I'm guessing the same kind of noises too, Scotty.
Yeah, 100%.
Where's my coffee?
Even,
no, yeah, except it's like, you know, your joints, kind of old joints cracking. And
which, the beautiful sound of an action figure too when you're worried when it's this big and heavy, ratchet joints in the knees. Always a lovely thing to see.
Really handy on a
but if
robot.
You are worried about him standing up, they do also include a nice tiny figure stand that you get with all your McFarlane figures, which pretty much covers one.
That looks like it's 200 scale.
Barely covers one of his feet, but I do sort of like that they included it in there anyway. So, yeah, all the
one little
do.
Bit of extra plastic, and you could have had like the double pluggers for his feet because they just look like thongs on his feet.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I do sort of like that as a weird kind of potentially mini joke that they threw that in with this guy. But yes, all the new Spawn figures do have these ones. They are slightly different from the Kickstarter one. So if you did get the Kickstarter, you'll have it being the same. So it does have the logo, but the Kickstarter ones have the beautiful green necroplasm coloring. As well as the date of the figure being released at the time, 1994 to 2001 on the Kickstarter, as well as Todd McFarlane not being afraid to brag, saying record-setting action figure, whereas your generic release ones are just a grey Spawn. So if you're ever trying to keep them straight, which one belongs to which. So, yeah, that's the full line. So it is exciting to get these guys, but I do find it weird that there's no main Spawn figure in this wave, considering that this is the line that's getting the retail push. There is a retail exclusive that I haven't gotten yet. He's on his way. He's ordered, which is the Gunslinger Spawn, which is basically Spawn from the Old West. And he's a Target exclusive in the States. And he's probably the closest looking to your regular Spawn. So it's even weird that they clearly had this figure and they didn't make Raven Spawn or Redeemer the retail exclusive. So the only thing I can think of there is they had this line picked ready to go and Target was like, if we're going to stock them, we want an exclusive and we want it to be the main character that people will pick up Spawn. So it has to be a Spawn, and Gunslinger was the only one they had there sort of ready to go. Because it's weird to me that the main, not, there's no main character, but the closest to the main character is the retail exclusive, whereas all other places are getting these. So I'm not even too sure if any Australian chains will be getting Gunslinger Spawn in. I've actually seen some places that had him listed, and now I've recently been putting cancellation orders saying, hey, sorry, we thought this guy was included in the wave. He's actually not. We'll have to refund and set through. So as much as I love the paintwork and the design on these guys, I am a little bit wary in recommending them, because unless you're hardcore like me, you're potentially going to struggle. This might be the only way we get. It might not necessarily work, and you might sort of be out having a whole bunch of figures but no main character. And there is some stuff with the articulation, as I mentioned with Redeemer, where you've got those ball joint ankles, but the weight of him's going to come down. Same with the gun pack on my clown. I can't really display that without it dropping through. But then there's other things, just like, this is just pure action figure fun. I think that's why Violator is clearly the most popular of the wave, is that this guy, you could potentially not even have any love for Spawn, but you might have this guy on your Mythic Legions shelves, or I even set him up so he was getting blasted by the Ghostbusters and pieces like that through. So it could also be that line that you don't have to give a rat's about Spawn. You might not care that you're getting the main Spawn character in the old Todd terms. It's just like, it's just a cool looking toy. It's just a cool toy to have on the shelf, and that's what the kids want, is a cool toy.
Man. We nearly made it through.
I nearly did. I was trying to be good, reviews, but I had to get my Todd impression in there. Gotta let the Bronco Buck.
Did you really?
Bronco Buck.
Did you really have to?
So yeah, I'd probably give these guys. I'm actually gonna probably low. As much as it sounds like I love them, I'm gonna give them a low ball. Since I'm kind of reviewing it as a wave of $6 out of 10. But it'll depend on where this line goes to, is this worth it? But if you just want some cool looking stuff, these guys will do the job. But as a start of a Spawn line, I'm a bit interested to see if this gamble will pay off. So yeah. Six out of 10 for me.
So with the, you're saying there's not a Spawn, are these the same size as the Mortal Kombat McFarlane Spawn? Like, would that fit? And was that a retail item?
Yeah, so that one ends up being, so it was actually, and yeah, that is one I haven't really affected in too much. So he does actually come in slightly shorter than the other kind of main guys here in the run. And his sculpt, being from Mortal Kombat and that sort of video game design, is slightly different. Like, it's almost, that's more what you might imagine a movie Spawn figure to be, whereas these guys are, for the most part, very comic based in look. So it sort of feels like when you put a MCU Marvel Legend up against a comic book Marvel Legend through. So you could definitely fudge it, as people do, but there would also be collectors out there that'd be like, oh yeah, these guys aren't from the same line, or they're different sub lines of the same line. So yeah, like it's really only the Kickstarter Spawn that fits in and matches it well. So potentially there'll be more. I mean, you can always do lots of spawns and just stick a different cape on it, and you can be like, hey, Kickstarter people, your cape's exclusive. So you always know which one you paid way too much for. set through there. But yeah, fantastic point on the Mortal Kombat one. I forgot to mention that.
You got to give it to McFarlane. I mean, the detail in those sculpts is amazing. And, you know, you see the same in the multiverse stuff. Like, he mightn't be making the figures that I would like him to make, but they are great figures. Yeah. You know, what do you, you know, sometimes I, you know, wonder what the hell he is making.
Batman. But, that's what he's making. Yeah, Batman. Well, yeah. Lots of Batman.
Yes. Cool. Well, Eddie, thank you very much for that. It's a comprehensive review of that wave, and good luck finding Spawn. Everybody.
You got it.
It is a weird retailer exclusive, I think, to make, you know, the main guy.
Yeah. And it also just that it's Target as well, which sends shivers down every collector's spine these days.
Yes. Well, good luck with that. Thank you for that review. We will take a short break and we will come back with our final toy of the week.
Armor up, Iron Man. Engage interlock mechanics. Armor up, War Machine.
That's Sparkle Beam.
Attach front battle computer module.
My brain blast will make scrap metal of you.
Not in this lifetime, MODOK. With my rings, I rule the land and sea.
Wave, Mandarin.
Iron Man, War Machine, Hydro Armor, Iron Man, and action figures, each sold separately.
Well, we are now at that part of the show where Mr. Scotty brings up the rear. He is going to bring us home with the trifecta. Mr. Scotty, what you got?
I have got a problem. I know my personality that is you can't just have one. And so I'm good at not starting things because I know I won't be able to stop. So as an example, if someone brings home a bar of chocolate or whatever, I won't open it.
Yeah.
I can wait. I won't open it. It could sit there for 2 weeks and I won't open it. Once it's open, it's gone. And that's why I won't open it. And my parents, I remember when I was a kid, they had these, I don't know what they were. They were like these mint chocolate kind of things, and they were fancy. They were in a box, and they sat in this cupboard above the fridge. And sometime at night, they would take them down and each have one and put it back. I did not develop those traits. There's a lot of stuff that didn't pass down from them, for which I'm incredibly grateful. But that would have been nice. So I've managed. Nendoroids are cute, and I've managed to always go, yeah, but I'm not going to do that because I wouldn't be able to just have one. And then they made Stitch, and Stitch is one of the things that I can't not buy. And then I was somewhere where they had him on sale.
Of course.
And so, yep. And now I have six.
So
only Disney ones, though. That's my
Stitch was just the gateway Nendoroid.
yeah. Stitch is absolutely the gateway Nendoroid. So I have now in my possession. Disney-wise, I've got Fantasia, Mickey, and Belle from Beauty and the Beast, and Ariel, and Winnie the Pooh, and Piglet. And then I've got a whole bunch sitting in my big bad pile of loot. And anyway, we're here to talk about Stitch tonight. So if you don't know what an Android is, this is made by the Good Smile Company. I love names like that. It's near us. Well, near us when we were allowed to go anywhere. Every set of shops has that one shop that's like the just shop of crap shop. You're the one-stop variety thing. I imagine that somewhere on the internet, there's a place where you can just order one store full of crap.
Yeah.
Right? And then you just kind of replace it. We need a new store full of crap. So, but there's one of those in one of our shops near us, but the shop is called Everyone is Happy. It makes me happy. So anyway, the Good Smile Company, and this Now, these are not Ben friendly because they come with really scary numbers.
What?
Like Stitches, Nendoroid 1490. Yeah, Ben's done. So, you know, now I don't have that compulsion. I'm like, I don't have to collect them all just because they have numbers on the box. That's what killed Crazy. Marvel Universe for Ben Crazy. Back in the day, if you remember. And they come. There's different versions of some of these. Some of them have a what's called a DX or deluxe version. I think there might be a deluxe of Stitch. I'm not sure, but I just the regular is fine. And so it's actually pretty collector-friendly packaging. One thing also that I discovered about Nendoroids, which I like, but also which is going to work against me, is that they do reissue. So like some of the early Disney ones, the Mickey, Minnie, etc., are kind of from 2012, but they do reissue them. So they're kind of relatively accessible. It means you don't have to kind of scour the secondary market for them. You might just have to wait for the next re-release. This then comes with a little Mini Mezco plastic tray stack. No plastic bag, Ziploc bag to store it in. Disappointing. Mm. But there is, you know, two trays with lids in it. And these are, I don't know what the scale is, but they're about 4 inches tall. And so within in that, you get the core figure, Stitch. I'm holding them up now. Everyone's heart is melting, and I understand why I've fallen down this little rabbit hole. Guys, he's adorable if you can't see him. Hello, everybody wants them. Even the ones that can't see right now, you want him. He's gorgeous. Okay. And then he comes with a few different accessories. He comes with a normal, just like Happy Stitch face, but then the faceplate comes off. Don't freak out. Everything will be okay. And then there is they're relatively easy to swap, like closed eyes, Happy Stitch face. And then there is a sad Stitch. Oh, wait, that's not it. What happened? Oh, no. Okay, I take it back. That's not meant to be closed eyes happy. I think it's actually meant to be closed eyes sad, but you've got to adjust the ears around. Or maybe it's flexible, right? Like sad. He still kind of looks happy, doesn't he? Maybe you can close the mouth.
So do they?
Anyway, guys, it's adorable.
How are they held in? Are they pegs or are they magnetic?
No, they're just, there's a little, it's just a pretty basic
yeah.
little slot that you kind of position yep, it yep. over. So one of the things that I'm really, wait, here we go. that was closed eyes happy. I'm back together now.
Pretty lost
closed
accessory.
Eyes happy. And then there's sad. Droopy eyes sad. And so there's the ears articulate so that you can do the droopy eyed sad. Okay. And guys, he's adorable, just in case I haven't mentioned that enough. One of the things I really like about the Disney aesthetic with the Nendoroids that works well too is that it doesn't, Nendoroids are stylistic, but the Disney stuff, it just looks like the property. It's not like I've never kind of gotten into the Disney pops besides the villains, yes, but like just in general, because it's still, they look like pops, not like the characters, right? The eyes are such a big, important part of the characters. And I think, you know, that works really well. So then as well as the three total face plates, he comes with a few different accessories. So there are, I can't put these on and show at the same time. I'm kind of capable enough, but there are some very groovy sunglasses that he can wear. There is his ukulele, very cute. And there is also Scrump, which is Lilo's little stuffed doll that he adopts, and she is gorgeous in herself. And then as well as that, there's a picture book, and then he comes with just open hands, and there are three swap-out hands for holding things and doing different things. He also comes with a little display base that has got a peg stand that you can put into his back for different poses and things. But with a little bit of work, although he is obviously very top heavy because he's tiny and the head is heavy, he can actually stand on his own without the stand, which I was relieved about because that always drives me kind of crazy. So for a small figure, he's actually got pretty cool articulation. The ears have got like a ball joint with quite a bit of movement, not just up and down, but to the sides, up, down. And that's obviously really important for Stitch because that's kind of part of his expressiveness. And then his mouth, and you can kind of open and close his mouth so you can see happy face, closed face. You've got to take the faceplate off to do that. So it's not, you know, as flexible, but with that, you can kind of up down the little mouthpiece so that you can get different expressions. If you've got, you can close it if the face plate is on, but if it's already closed, you kind of have to pull the faceplate off to open it again. And then his arms actually have got a kind of a shoulder joint, a top, like, oh, what do you call it? The top arm swivel, and then an elbow joint and wrist joint. So there's kind of 1, 2, 3, 4 joints. I don't work for the ABS. So I have to count by hand on his hands, but then just the single joint on his little feet. So yeah, these are great fun. I think that because of the size and the scale, if you were displaying, I think you could come up with a really fun kind of display within a property. I've been tempted by a couple of the Marvel ones, their MCU stuff, which I don't normally collect, and that's kind of what's kept me away from them. And also for the Aquaman one as well, but it's a movie one. I don't really collect the movie stuff. So this has been the gateway drug into that. The price point is probably obviously the biggest hurdle for something this size. In Australia, you're looking at between 90 and 110 for the standard version, and then a little bit more for the deluxe version. But Plaza Japan, HobbyLink Japan has got a bit, but Plaza Japan, I do a fair bit of shopping from them for Mayfex and that sort of stuff. And their prices with exchange rate and et cetera, particularly if you get a few at once, like their shipping is pretty cheap. And price-wise, it is a lot more economical, even with the kind of overseas shipping. And they do, there's a bunch that are coming out or being reissued in the next kind of 6 months to a year that you can pre-order on Plaza Japan as well. You know, sells them, Zing gets some of them. They're certainly available here as well. It's really just the price point. So look, I've got to give this 10 out of 10. I think this is just a barrel of fun. It is, and also things that are, I like swappable things that are easy. Often things, you know, they've got extra face plates, etc., but they're either really hard to swap or really tiny so that I'm too worried I'm going to lose them or accidentally inhale them. But this is easy. I'm going to choose just the regular expression if I display him. But I also as well think just from a stitch perspective too that this is such a fun. I've seen the Revoltech version, which I think might be a bit bigger, but I like this better. I think that this has just kind of got more of a real, this isn't a stylized stitch. It just feels like stitch feel. And I'm definitely not going to buy both of those because I'm not completely crazy. And, but this is great. Yeah, I know. Adam's making a face. okay. All right. That's the downside of video. You can see when people are like, are you sure? But yeah, no, look, it's great fun. I love this. I have Stitch Pops because I love Stitch, but you really do. The eyes and the paint on this is just fantastic. You get more of a sense of it's really him rather than just a pop facsimile. So yeah, I'm now completely, you know, hopefully they don't make a billion of these, but there are like the Mickey, Minnie, Donald are all being reissued soon. And they're doing Chip and Dale as well, who I love. And yeah,
the strippers.
Have all these. No, Chip and Dale, not Chip and Dale. Completely different. So no, we don't need to take out hits on each other and try and murder each other for possession.
You know, I honestly didn't realize that these figures were so sophisticated. Like, I've seen them come up in some of the retail sites that I go to and in news on Facebook and that sort of thing, but I actually didn't realize they were so sophisticated with swap out parts and the number of articulation points. And because a lot of them are quite stylized, which is not my thing, I've tended to scroll past. So I was actually quite surprised to learn that they are as detailed as they are. So
yeah, John has definitely reviewed an Android or two on the show before, but I didn't kind of really get the articulation. That's the thing, like with other properties like Marvel or whatever, it is a stylized thing that I kind of think, no. But I think that the Disney stuff, they seem to be doing a more, I'll see if I can get Winnie the Pooh out of here.
I feel like it's also because there are so many like KO versions of them as well, that can also be hard to get in your mind like what how good a quality they actually are, because you do if you just do a basic search for them, you'll get a ton for $30 from China and it can fill up your feed. But Yeah, having an actual proper one in hand, it's a good quality. Like even just the plastic really and paint application is always pristine on. Is it Max Factory? Yeah. What's the name of the guys? I'm blanking.
Good Smile.
Yeah. I think Good Smile is, Max Factory, or what's the...
It's like Revoltech and Kiato. They've got very different names and subcategory things. But that company does tend to have really good quality.
So, Joel, is this something that, being an Iron Man fan, do you go, it's not a line that I would collect, but I'd make an exception for a really well-done Iron Man? Do you have that shelf of Iron Man oddities where you've just got the Iron Man out of that line or just got the Iron Man from that series or something just to beef up the shelf?
We're trying really hard to stay away from different lines. Then
you don't want to hang around us. If you want to develop any kind of restraint or be encouraged to have restraint, you've come to the wrong place.
So my gateway into the Iron Man genres for any brand will be if they do a great Mark III from the movie, then that's got me hooked for the whole line.
Yeah.
So I'm trying really hard to stay controlled.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shelf space being a premium and all.
Yes. Space is for the weak.
These are like what I imagined, because Cosbabies are things that have kind of attracted my attention from time to time in that they are kind of similar, but I have a couple and they're cheaper certainly and they are what they are. But this kind of does for me what I imagined a Cosbaby, if it was articulated, etc. So it's fun. I'm definitely looking forward to the Super 7 Disney stuff, just some of the stuff that they're doing are characters that wouldn't be done like this. And it looks, fantastic. I'm definitely down for the first wave of that at least. But So 10 out of 10 for Stitch. And I promise not to review every single one.
Yeah. Some of them are.
Guys, he's really cute.
I must admit, I was just scrolling through them through the link you sent, Scotty. And while a lot of the really stylized ones don't do much for me, some of them actually translate really well. Like the Zootopia characters look really spot on.
Yeah.
They've done a great effort with those. So, good to see. Excellent. All right. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Scotty. Once again, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear some feedback from you, the listener.
Well, we love to hear from you, and there are multiple ways that you can say things to us. You can email us at podcast@actionfigureblues.com, and you might just hear your email read out as the ones that we're going to read out this evening. You can find us on Facebook, Action Figure Blues. You can find our fantastic Action Figure Blues collector community and join. You can also find us on Twitter at AF Blues and on Instagram at Action Figure Blues. And we don't have Snapchat and TikTok because we're not cool enough. Although I've developed a TikTok addiction as well, but that's a separate story. So we've got two emails tonight. The first is from Teddy. And by the way, when you tell us where you're from, we always like it. Neither of these people did. So you only get 4 out of 5 stars, but thank you for emailing.
Can we make it up?
Yes, so from Transylvania, Teddy says, just wondering if any of you backed the HasLab Sentinel from Marvel Legends, and if so, will you be reviewing it? First of all, Teddy, I am affronted that you should even ask, because of course we did. Adam didn't. But
Ben's got one to spare.
The real question is, sure. I was going to say, the real question is, how many did Ben back?
I honestly only got 2. So I...
Only.
I was pretty proud of myself. I think
that is restraint. Yeah. I've got to say, I'm surprised.
Yeah, I'm glad I did actually, because I had this grand vision of the retailer that we ordered through allows you to go in and pay off things, and I justified getting 2 by going, that's fine. I've got over a year to just go in and just keep making payments, and of course I haven't spent a cent since. So I'm looking down the barrel of a pretty hefty bill when I collect mine. So yes.
Yes. And we were talking briefly before the show that, that there are some mixed reports about some quality issues, so we shall see. What is it? It's knee wobbly knees?
Or he doesn't have ratchet knees, which would then help support that bulky upper body. But I think people have just been a bit pedantic. But then again, I could be having a hissy fit in a month or so when we get ours. But
interesting to see if you can do the old, like I know Transformer fans talk about it a lot. I've never really done it, but the so there's like a type of floor polish type trick that you can just sort of run over the joints to sort of thicken them up a little bit to help keep them. Whether that might sort of work on.
The biggest issue for me with the Sentinel is going to be getting it into the house, but I've come up with a foolproof plan. Miss 6, Miss 8, one each side. We're going to give it a little hat, get one of their shirts, and just word them up and say, look, this is just a friend from schoolgirls. So as we walk in, hold it as if you're just walking in with your friend, and we'll get it past Mum and into my room.
The guy who released a blank video that you upload onto your computer and edit. So it's, okay, this is the Woomba channel. We're announcing the winner of the HasLab Sentinel contest today. His name's down here at the bottom. That should be coming out in the mail shortly. And then you just edit your name, show your wife, and be like, oh,
excellent, excellent.
Yes. Yeah. Well, look, in my world of quarter scale statues, I don't think it would even. It's like, oh, not another one.
Yeah. Okay. Who else got one? Like, did everybody get one? Obviously, I know Adam. That's not your jam. Joel, did you order one?
Yeah, just the one.
Yeah. All right, well, that's going to make for an excellent episode when we get those in 2 months' time. So.
What about, because obviously we've just had the end of Galactus. Did we?
Yes. I ended up ordering mine from Robot Kingdom because I just was preoccupied with life stuff and was like, okay, I've got to get in and order that before it closes, and then it closed. But yes, I've got one ordered.
But what was weird is when Mark got it because of you.
When
no, it was by the time I'd gotten organized to do it. That I had a considerable amount of money tied up in trying to deal with the American banking system and my dad's estate because they were like, sure, no problem. We can send you a check. Which that's just not a thing. We've been paying out stuff to maintain his house, etc., waiting just for the like funds from his bank account to come. So I just like literally had no money for a moment. And then when I got it, then I was like, it's too late. But anyway, so yeah, Robot Kingdom.
But one thing that happened is when they had the cutoff, when Hasbro announced the cutoff day and time, on that day, the retailer in Australia cut off at that time that Hasbro also announced. And so there were people frantically posting and going, can someone send me the Zing link to Galactus? I can't find it now.
Yeah, it's gone.
No, no. Yep. They said it was going to finish at 8 p.m. So it finished at 8 p.m. And all these people coming back going, oh, yeah, I'm in Eastern Transylvanian time and you've got to add 13.6289 hours to that. So I should still have X amount of time before I. And I was like, no, Hasbro said cut it off at this time. And so a lot of people were obviously waiting till the, you know, veritable 11th hour and subsequently missed out. So, but, you know, you had a month and a half. So, yeah, I'm not feeling a lot of sympathy.
No.
Yeah. I did quite enjoy the bit of banter of people. Will this make it? It looks like it's not going to. It's like this is every Kickstarter from the beginning of time. It always goes heavy in the first, like, 2 days. And it'll start to dry up a bit after a week, and then it'll be like almost a snail's pace, and everyone panics. And then the last week, everyone's like, oh shit, I actually got to get that in, and starts chugging it through. And then.
Well, that's because you wait to the last 24 hours, and then you show the wife what the pre-orders are going for on eBay, and you go, look, people are already pre-selling these for like twice. So, like, we'll make money.
Yeah.
But you're never going to sell it. That's not the point.
I managed to get in on the Robot Kingdom one, I think, right before it sold out. So that was good. I got to say, obviously, I think it's going to be amazing, et cetera. But I really was a bit underwhelmed by the you know, obviously the Nova figure is amazing. But then the other stretch goals, like Silver Surfer, who we've had two or three times in the last 3 years, and then a character that I've never heard of. And I was like, surely this is Airwalker or
Don't be dissing Morg.
Or Fire.
I think Fire Lord's coming.
Don't be dissing Morg.
I think Firelord will be.
Oh, Firelord will come to Airwalker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, potentially now, like, this is the clever thing of it is, like, how many people were like, we need an Airwalker figure before. And now, because of this, people are like, well, we need to get an Airwalker into an FF wave or line now. No one was asking for Airwalker before, but they're clever. They manipulate and they make you want certain things and then they delay the satisfaction and then it comes through.
Is anyone planning to set fire to their Nova or anything and get it CGC graded and then sell it on eBay for ridiculous amounts of money?
No.
I know it's a question for another time, but I'd love to be able to get everyone's opinions at one point about just how these stretch goals or even announcing them is put in or the structure of them when they actually say how many stretch goals there are for each particular project, because they're very closed fist about it, I think.
Yeah.
So it can
there would be a business side of it where it would be like, we don't want to announce all these stretch goals and don't reach it. And then it looks like we've got all this stuff and then people will be asking and then it's – you sort of want to look as if you're successful, like you hit all your stretch goals that you had out there and announced, which is why they wouldn't announce one until another one's crossed through and done. But even with them, there'd be economics, like the idea of Nova, then Silver Surfer being reused bucks and then it being much larger goal before you got to Morg, who's much more original sculpting. So you're almost getting a couple of – 1,000 orders in before you're getting any new sculpting again, really, apart from some heads stuff like that. There'd be economics within.
The comments online were really an enlightening read when you – I'm just surprised at how many fans out there on Facebook are experts on the inner machinations of the toy industry, because it seems like everybody had an opinion and it's like, you might as well just give us these figures because clearly you've sculpted them. Why do you have to sort of commit to X number of units? You've sculpted them already, so you've spent the money, so just give them to us. And it was quite interesting. But something I actually wanted to point out, which I thought was really cool, was sometime a couple of years ago, doing the rounds on the Facebook groups, there was some head casts getting around of, there was a really cool Wolverine one. There was a really neat unmasked Deadpool head that had, where he's got a shuriken between his teeth. And there was also a really nifty Doctor Strange one. And they were all sculpted by a guy named Mayshelf. That's his handle. And he actually sculpted the Morg figure, Hasbro. So he went from being a fan and sculpting these heads just for something to do to actually legitimately sculpting the Morg.
Doing the Twitter head path.
Yeah, which I thought was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, that was so good.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And that Morg figure is sensational. Like the head sculpt is gorgeous.
Look, great figure of a character that I don't know. I'm still, yay, great. Yeah, I've had to leave a bunch of Facebook groups and things where for some of the smaller companies, as much as I love their stuff, because people are so entitled and like particularly in the world at the moment, like we were saying before, the supply chain is stuffed. There is stuff. I was chatting to somebody the other day who is been working towards starting their own kind of e-commerce business. They had stuff being made in China that were going to ship to Amazon US to sell on Amazon US. They got a shipping quote in February. When the stuff was ready in May, the price had increased by 1,300%. And then, so they had to then change gears, have it sent to Australia, got 600 kilograms of stock sitting in China, and they've had three freight forwarders cancel on them because the competition for space on ships is so hot that you've got to be prepared to pay through the teeth to actually get it on, just for the chance to get it on a ship. And so people, and this goes right back to the Maddie Collector days, people have no concept about how small these runs are compared to things that are truly mass produced.
Oh, yes. Yep.
You know, these are tiny runs compared to things that are truly mass produced. And that means that it costs more to get it done. It costs more to get them places. You know, and so we just got to wait, you know, but people don't
Yeah. And my understanding is because a lot of the ports operating around the world are running at reduced capacity because of COVID, so obviously they're not moving as many containers as they normally would. But from what I also understand, one of the main issues is when ships are going back, they again only have limited space, and so they're actually not taking empty containers with them. They're actually maximizing the space that they have available for existing commercial stock, and therefore the empty shipping containers aren't going back. And so then the cost of shipping containers has basically quadrupled. My builder was telling me that he used to be able to ship a container from the US for about $3,800, and he said it's now about $11,000 to ship a container. And what's also happening is the big companies are actually stepping in and paying the premiums for the right to ship stuff. So Australia has a huge shortage of timber in order to build things like homes that they build the timber frames out of. Now, the timber that Australia uses comes from Russia. Now, as far as I know, Russia's got plenty of timber, but the space they have available to ship the timber is obviously limited. But apparently what's happening is the Americans are so short on timber as well, they're going, oh, we'll pay anything. And so what little timber there is available to ship is now shipping at a premium and going to whomever is willing to pay. So when people are sitting there and jumping up and down because they haven't got their dollies, like just keep, I feel like people have not even a basic understanding of supply chain logistics. Like it's quite interesting reading some of the comics. It's, dude, calm down. It's a dolly.
Yeah. Well, because the other thing too is, yeah, I'm thinking about like Tweeter Hedge as an example, which is a small company doing great stuff. And people not only want it now, they want 24/7 like lifeline support updates. It's just baffling. Any updates? You know how we said yesterday everything's stuck in China? Yeah, still stuck in China. We'll let you know when it's not stuck in China.
It's part of that tied back.
We haven't had an update.
Part of that tied back to now with all your Ubers and menu logs and all the rest of it. You can see exactly where your food is or your driver is or whatever. And you go, what did you take that route for, you idiot? Right?
Yeah.
Like how much of it is just that mentality extended to international logistics?
Why have you stopped at three
other
houses before mine? You should come to mine first and then do that.
Yeah, exactly. Clearly I'm more important than everyone else.
Yeah.
Now back to the original question about Sentinels. I highly suspect that the supplier that we've purchased our Sentinels through will probably be bringing them into the country at a much slower rate than a DHL courier could move it. There's rumours are that we won't actually have them here in Australia until November. We will get around
to talking to them this week, actually, about getting some other gear, and just said, oh, by the way, if they give it an update. And yeah, from the shop, they said November.
Yeah, so it almost implies that they're bringing them over surface rather than airmail.
It's good to know because I've had that $500 sitting there just waiting for it because I had the email for it like a while ago. Hey, final cross through.
And it's if like, I ever
got to remember not to spend that accidentally and set through.
If I ever get out of my suburb again, I might duck in and make some payments in one of their shop fronts.
Yeah. So we do have another email, and this is from Grace. And Grace says, hey guys, I recently discovered the show and I really enjoy it. I'm going back and listening to the older shows. Oh, there's no ID there.
Yeah. Just start from 160 that's
what it is. Yeah. And I noticed that you used to do a news segment and it seems really interesting. Is that something that you might bring back in the future? Yes. We stopped some of the things that were making the show really time consuming to produce every week. And then we stopped doing it every week. So it's not as timely. I think we've just talked a bit about the Sentinel stuff, et cetera. And we talk about things when they come, but we do get that feedback from time to time. So thanks, Grace, for that. And we will consider. And if you want to hear your email read out, don't forget podcast@actionfigureblues.com. And please do find our Facebook group if you are still on the Book of Face, because it is a great group of awesome people. And that's it. We're done. Joel, it was so great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
We might even
get
back.
That Ursa well Major wave.
I'll dust mine off when yours gets here.
Yeah, so thanks for that.
Yeah, I'll have to get mine out of storage. Cobwebs, yeah.
You keep making comments like that. We'll be rotating hosts out for rotating new ones.
Yeah. Okay, well, guys, that was great fun. And we will chat to you next time. See you later.
Catch you next time.
The Action Figure Blues podcast can be found on iTunes and Stitcher Radio and can be downloaded direct from actionfigureblues.com. Wherever you listen, please take a moment to leave a positive rating and review to help others find our show. Our theme music is by Robert Crandall. Our ad music is by Scott Holmes. The AFB logo is created by Nath Stones. We also have an active fan forum at afbforum.com where you can join with all the hosts of the podcast and many other collectors to discuss news, reviews, old lines, and trade and sell in a safe community. Please join us there. While you're at actionfigureblues.com, please check out our sponsors like Max Comics and Stuff, Loot Crate, Audible, and Gamefly. You can find us on Twitter at AFBlues, on Instagram at actionfigureblues, and on Facebook at facebook.com/actionfigureblues. Thanks for listening.